can include entertainment by the popular Duttons and Freddie G. Elvis. Hourly drawings for door prizes include $100 cash at 10, 11, and noon. So come join in on the fun at this year's Walgreens Love and Life After 50 Expo, January 13th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Sundial Recreation Center. Sponsors include Walgreens, Scan Health Plan Arizona, CapTel, The Hartford, and Sun Health Senior Living. For more information, go to loveandlife.com. That's LOVINLIFE.com and click on Expo.
Forecasters say Arizona will be hit with major dust storms this year. Will you know what to do? Dust storms develop quickly and reduce visibility in just seconds. Any dust storm, large or small, can be dangerous for drivers. Will you know what to do? When a dust storm hits, pull aside, stay alive. Pull completely off the roadway, turn off your lights, wait for the storm to pass. Learn more at pullasidestayalive.org.
Sponsored by ADOT, in partnership with the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
Who might you save?
Your mother, your father, your husband, uncle, and son.
Learn FAST, F-A-S-T, the sudden signs of a stroke, and you could save...
your friend, your best friend, teacher, boss, coach.
F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. S, speech difficulty. T, time to call 911. F-A-S-T, face, arm, speech, time. That's F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. S, speech difficulty. T, time to call 911. The sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in the recovery of...
your neighbor, the waiter, a fellow shopper, a total stranger, grandmother, grandfather.
So learn FAST, the sudden signs of a stroke, then pass it on, because you never know who might save you.
Your wife, your colleague, teammate, mother.
Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Mondays are the most profitable day of the week. When you listen to Money Making Mondays with the Microcap Master, Evan Greenberg, Chief Investment Strategist for the Legend Cap Opportunity Fund. For more info, call Evan at 516-662-0303. That's 516-662-0303. Or email Evan at legendcapfunds.com. And tune in Mondays at 1 p.m. for Money Making Monday.
I'm Peter Schachnow, CNBC Radio. Jet-making giant Boeing is reaching new heights, but perhaps not quite as high as it would like. Boeing delivered 723 jets last year, an industry record, and that gave Boeing a victory in its ongoing rivalry with European jet maker Airbus. But Boeing's victory is far from complete, as it may trail in new jet orders. Boeing did set a record with 1,432 net orders last year, worth nearly $233 billion. Airbus will announce its figures in the coming week, with analysts expecting new orders will come in ahead of Boeing. That may rankle those who are into the rivalry, but while getting new business is obviously important, the ability to actually deliver jets is even more important. Not only does an actual delivery result in cash for Boeing, it also shows an ability to produce efficiently while transitioning production lines to newer models. And analysts say that should result in strong results for Boeing going forward. Peter Schachnow, CNBC Radio.
This show is brought to you by Discount Tire. Your low-price journey starts at Discount Tire.
The information and opinions expressed in this broadcast are intended to address specific questions asked or situations described on this program and are not designed to constitute advice or recommendations as to any disease, ailment, or physical condition. You should not act or rely upon any information contained in this broadcast without seeking the advice of your personal physician. If you have any questions about the information or opinions expressed during this broadcast, please contact your doctor.
Good afternoon, Arizona. It's time for Doctor Talk with Dr. Belinda Barclay-White, a board-certified radiologist who specializes in breast imaging and breast-related issues, and Dr. Carrie Bordinko, a board-certified doctor of internal medicine and personal physician. This show is about your health care, your well-being, and your life. Get the latest information and answers to your questions from nationally recognized physicians and healthcare experts. To join the conversation, visit our Facebook.com/Dr. Talk and use the hashtag Dr. Talk. That's Facebook.com/Dr. Talk It's time for Dr. Talk with hosts Dr. Barclay White and Dr. Bordinko.
Well, welcome to another Saturday edition of Dr. Talk. We really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy weekends to join Dr. Barclay White and myself. And here in the studio today, we also have Michelle Goins of Goins Law, who's going to talk to us today on a topic that a lot of people don't want to discuss, do they, Belinda?
No, absolutely not. In fact, driving here today, I was thinking, where's my DNR? Do I have one? Yes, for the first time. So
yeah, I was going to say, we're going to be throwing around a lot of acronyms, too. The medical community loves to throw around acronyms, so we sound really smart. And unfortunately, we realize that people don't always understand those terms. So for those of you listening today, DNR is a do not resuscitate. And we're going to try and clarify some of the words regarding end-of-life care and advanced directives and power of attorneys. And once again, this is a topic that a lot of people hesitate to have a conversation with their loved ones or with their family members until usually it's too late. And we're going to go over some of that today as well in some of our segments and talk about why you need to be more proactive on this topic.
And I think I was reading somewhere that close to 66% of people actually don't have one until they get to the hospital, and then it becomes an issue. So that's a huge number of people that haven't ever thought about this and maybe should start thinking about it. So let's define some of the terms. I understand CPR, and I think most of us out there, you know, cardiopulmonary resuscitation. So if someone is brought in pulseless, the ability to bring back a heartbeat and establish breathing is a CPR. But Carrie, explain to us what DNR is, because I had that wrong.
DNR is what they commonly refer to as a do not resuscitate order. And a lot of times that's combined with what we also call a DNI. A lot of people group them together, which is a do not intubate. And these terms sound a little ominous, I know, for our listeners. But basically what it means is a person or a family has chosen not to do aggressive medical measures going forward. So you're acknowledging that this is an end-of-life process that can be due to a cancer, it can be due to a raging infection, it can be due to a trauma. There's many reasons. And you're saying that you feel there's more harm done to the individual by continuing to poke, prod, and do these aggressive interventions, and you're causing more harm to them, and you just want to let them pass naturally, which is actually going to bring us into a brand new acronym out there called AND, or allow natural death. And we're going to talk about that later in the show.
And then the fourth thing is artificial nutrition and hydration. So keeping someone that's chronically ill, unable to support themselves, to feed themselves, to keep themselves hydrated. And that usually means a tube. And that actually doesn't have an acronym, right? That's just artificial nutrition and hydration.
It is. And, you know, one of the things I want to make sure our listeners stay tuned for is there's a lot of misconceptions out there about when you can start these processes, especially the artificial nutrition and hydration. A lot of people remember the Terry Schiavo case from more than a decade ago. You don't have all the control as the consumer that you think you do. And since our whole show is about empowering consumers to take back control in their own healthcare and be advocates for themselves, I think this is a great topic to get into on the air. And hopefully, you know, a lot of our listeners will join in on this by joining our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/Dr. Talk. And send us some feedback on this topic or ask some questions. We would be happy to get more information out there on this topic. Once again, people don't want to talk about it.
So let's introduce our speaker today, who is in the studio with us, Michelle Goins.
Goins,
right, who focuses her legal practice on estate planning, probate and trust administration, and estate and trust controversy litigation. Oh, dear, that word's in there that I'm not allowed to say. She represents individuals in the creation of various estate planning documents, including wills, trusts, and health care and financial powers of attorney. In the event of death or incapacity, Ms. Goins assists her clients with probate and trust administration and, when necessary, litigation of probate, trust, or fiduciary-related disputes. So welcome, Michelle.
Thank you for having me.
So we are going to start off with a question, which here in Arizona is a common one. So if a client actually has a health care power of attorney in another state and moves to Phoenix, is that applicable here, or do we have to do something differently?
Well, estate planning documents that are prepared out of state, and then a client, if they're valid in the state where they're actually prepared, they're going to be valid in Arizona. So they don't necessarily need to have a new healthcare power of attorney prepared. However, for a few reasons, I think it's important to at least go speak with an attorney, revisit the issue, and potentially have a new one prepared. So first of all, the law of the state where the procedures are being performed is going to be the law controlling. So in other words, if you're here in Arizona and you think your agent has specific authority, an agent under a power of attorney is the person you name to make medical decisions for you. If you give your agent a power in another state to do certain things, you may have omitted things because the state authorizes that automatically. In Arizona, our laws might be a little bit different, so we want to make sure that you know what your agent specifically authorized to do under the document and under state law. Another reason is that medical providers are oftentimes unfamiliar with out-of-state forms. So here in Arizona, you come in with a healthcare power of attorney. Your medical provider knows what to expect. Out-of-state, it may not be the same form. It may be a little bit more confusing. It may cause certainty or some type of delay. And finally, it's always a good time to revisit your estate planning. When you move, it's a good time to sit down and address the entirety of it, specifically healthcare power of attorney. People may have passed away that were named as agents. There may have been divorces along the way. And maybe you just want to go revisit it and make sure you've made the same designations that you wish you had made. So at a minimum, you should talk to your lawyer. You should find somebody local that can address these issues with you and make sure that what you have is going to work, because it might.
I think that all of us, you know, life moves so fast in front of all of our eyes. I think that there should be just a certain time frame that you almost put it in your calendar, that you say every 5 years or every 10 years, you know, whatever that period needs to be for your family, that you sit down and you actually revisit these with an attorney, because not only do state-to-state laws change, but actually the local laws can change right out from under you. And you do not want to be doing this at a time of crisis. And unfortunately, you know, Belinda, you gave the statistic. That's when it happens the vast majority of the time. That's a horrible time to put the family under an additional stress and say, we need to sit down and figure this out. So, you know, I just think it should be almost part of, you know, your general upkeep is that you pull these out. I see patients come in and they bring out advanced directives or healthcare power of attorneys that are 20 years old, and that was the last time they looked at them. And like you said, people change their mind as well. You know, maybe at one point in time you wanted certain things done, and now you're at a different stage in life. So I think that's something we want to stress throughout the rest of the show too. And we're going to address some of those myths and facts so that people and our listeners understand why it is really important to keep these current and active.
And how legal do these documents have to be? For instance, could I pen a letter to whom it may concern on my way to the hospital? This is what I want. This is what I don't want.
Well, there are very specific requirements about generally executing, signing the healthcare powers of attorney. The text of it, though, isn't very specific. You could say a lot of what you want as you are preparing it, but it has to say, for example, that you are preparing a healthcare power of attorney. That's a required provision that's going to be in the document. But in Arizona, for example, we need it to be notarized or witnessed. It has to have specific language in that witnessing paragraph. So it doesn't have to be an attorney that prepares it for you, and another state may have different witnessing requirements, but that's what we require here, and we do have different forms available.
Okay. And how about if that the person making those directives, I mean, do we have to prove they're mentally stable at the time?
Yes, the person has to be mentally stable at the time. That's generally going to be, you know, for me, it's an attorney's evaluation. So although I think attorneys hate this, I think doctors hate this as well, but it's a legal determination whether somebody has the legal capacity to enter into this type of a document, contractual capacity. That's something that your witnesses are going to have to swear to as well.
All right, so I think we're off to a good start here, and we've got lots of questions for you. But you're listening to Dr. Talk on Money Radio 1510 and 99.3 FM, and we're talking about health power of attorneys. So please join the conversation on Facebook at facebook.com/Dr. Talk, #Dr. Talk. Do you dread having your annual screening mammogram? For a totally different experience, give Arizona BreastNet a call. Our all-female staff provides you with years of expertise and immediate results in a clean, state-of-the-art, spa-like facility that respects your mind, your body, and your time. If, on the other hand, you have a new breast lump or breast-related finding, call Arizona BreastNet today for an immediate appointment and consultation with a doctor who will give you your results at the time of your visit. At Arizona BreastNet, you will never have to wonder, worry, or wait. Get your results today and call 480-314-7600. That's 480-314-7600. For an immediate appointment, or you can visit us online at breastnet.net for more information.
When you're driving down the road, the last thing you want to think about is tires. Trust Discount Tire to get you up to speed with the right tire for your vehicle. We carry the world's best brands of tires, all at everyday low prices. At Discount Tire, we're not just about tires, we're about people. We'll get you the right tire for your vehicle to help keep you safe on the road. Stop by any Discount Tire store for a free air pressure and tire safety check. Your low price journey starts here. Discount Tire.
Your healthcare, your well-being, and your life. Now back to Dr. Talk with Dr. Barclay White, a board-certified radiologist, and Dr. Bordinko, a board-certified doctor of internal medicine and personal physician. To join the conversation, visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/Dr. Talk and use the hashtag Dr. Talk. That's facebook.com/Dr. Talk. Now, here's your hosts, Dr. Bordinko and Dr. Barclay White.
So welcome back. I am here in the studio with Carrie Bordinko, who's looking very tanned, having just come back from the islands and very relaxed, and Michelle Goins, who is an attorney who specializes in end-of-life issues. And before the break, we were just summarizing various terms such as CPR, DNR, DNI, and Carrie, you were going to tell us a little bit about this new one, Allow Natural Death,
A-N-D. Yeah, that's the new politically correct term for our listeners out there. When you've chosen not to pursue aggressive treatment anymore, we're now using the term A-N-D, Allow Natural Death. So we'll go into a little bit more detail on that later. But I want to lead off with a question for Michelle here. I mean, there's just so much to talk about on this topic. Mm-hmm. I hope we get it all in today's show. But a real big question I get, and, you know, as a physician, I have a very open conversation with my clients all the time about advanced directives, planning ahead, and healthcare power of attorneys, because I really do. I did emergency medicine for years as well, and I really hated to see families come in a stressful situation, and I, as the physician, would have to go bedside while we're literally trying to save someone's life and say, okay, who's going to make the decision on what I do next? You know, that's not a question I want to ask as a doctor. It's not a question Michelle wants to be put in the middle of. None of us do. So we really want to get the knowledge out there that people should sit down and have this conversation with their loved ones early. But a big struggle that a lot of people make is, who do I assign as an agent? You defined agent in the first segment that we had. Could you go back over that one more time?
Sure. An agent is somebody that you're going to name in your power of attorney or your healthcare power of attorney to take action when you can't. So when you're unavailable or incapacitated, when you can't make those decisions, the agent's the person that does. And in fact, I recommend that my clients name at least two alternate agents. So if we don't have one, if your first agent's unable to make those decisions, maybe they're out of the country and you just can't get a hold of them. You want to make sure there's somebody else in place that can make those decisions for you.
Absolutely. And so a big question that we get is, can someone change their mind? So you've assigned someone as your agent, but can you maybe you have a falling out, you have an argument, whatever, or you have a divorce and it was your spouse. How do you go about changing who that agent is?
That, you know, in Arizona, I don't see attorneys, and I certainly don't, make amendments to healthcare power of attorneys. We just draft a new one. They're relatively inexpensive documents. I charge $200 for a healthcare power of attorney. That includes your medical directive. So you get everything redone for a low price. People have agents die. They might, like you said, they could divorce their spouse. Maybe they just don't have the same relationship with the agent that they named. But you can always change it as often and as frequently as you'd like.
And it usurps the first one, so...
Yes, it revokes the first power of attorney, so the new one would then take effect.
Okay, and so who should clients name as an agent? I mean, what is the ideal scenario? We were talking a little bit in the break about not necessarily naming your spouse if he's the beneficiary.
I know,
at
and
large.
That's so natural, right? You yes. say, okay, it's just going to be my spouse or it's going to be my parents. And, you know, I was bringing up the point that I was told many years ago not to name somebody who has a financial interest in your death. And right. I know that's a kind of a morbid thing to talk about. But is there any fact to that?
So I haven't actually advised clients not to name a spouse because of something like that, but it is a valid point. I mean, even if you're not afraid that your spouse is going to actually, you know, do you in, you might be a little bit concerned just about some type of an appearance of impropriety. You don't want it to appear as though there was a financial interest in your death and that somebody made you, you know, more quickly demise than you may have otherwise.
But also to protect your spouse if, you know, you don't right. want to put them in the position where anyone could ever question
absolutely.
Them carrying out your orders, which might have been a little more extreme than, you know, the usual orders.
Well, they may not share your exact thought process on this topic. I mean, people go from different ends of the spectrum, right? From do everything, keep me alive, no matter what, put every tube in me possible, to don't touch me, let me go.
I have literally had spouses come with that exact scenario where yeah. somebody says everything under the sun to keep me alive and the spouse says the exact opposite.
Yes.
And that's, excuse me, a very important point, Carrie, that naming your agent isn't just about who you trust to make good decisions for you. It's about who you trust to make the decisions you want to make. That's a very important distinction. If your spouse doesn't believe in being kept alive, but you do, is your spouse going to honor your wish when he doesn't believe in that type of artificial?
Absolutely.
So what you're saying is when you pick that agent, you know, it's probably one of the most important things you'll actually decide on that piece of paper is trying to align with someone who has the same life philosophy as you do, that you obviously yeah. trust, of course.
Somebody that's definitely going to honor your philosophy.
Right. And, you know, we always instruct when we're in the emergency room or in a healthcare setting as well, that the agent is never supposed to speak from their own experience or their own thought process, but you are to be the voice for the person who cannot speak from themselves. And that's a very easy thing to say to someone. I think when you're in those shoes and you're making those decisions, it's really hard to put yourself in someone else's thought process.
Which is why so many disputes occur when families are involved, because families have different opinions about things, and if it hasn't all been clarified up front, that's exactly what you get into and you want to try and avoid, right? Where families right. are sort of really putting their feelings forward rather than the feelings of the person that...
Right, and if your feelings aren't out there, then they may disagree about what, you know, your family members may disagree about their feelings, how they think it should happen. So if you don't have it in writing what you want... That right. becomes a problem.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. Someone has not come in prepared. They have not elected an agent. So in an emergency situation, who gets to make the decisions?
If there's not a healthcare power of attorney
exactly.
in place? Arizona law actually allows for what's called a surrogate, and that's somebody that we're going to allow in Arizona to make healthcare decisions for you. We have a list of who's going to be named and in what order, but it starts with your spouse. So primarily, you know, despite us advising against it, a spouse is going to be the first person to be making those types of decisions. And then it goes on to an adult child or the majority decision of those adult children, a domestic partner, a sibling, a close friend. And that's going to be somebody that has expressed an interest in the well-being of the person who needs medical treatment. And if none of those people are available or if they can't be contacted, then actually the medical provider is going to make their own decisions based in consultation, I think, with like an ethics committee. And if not available, then a second provider.
And I think in today's world where we have so many additional relationships besides the traditional spouse, and you do have a lot of very close friends, you have a lot of domestic partners, they don't have the same legal standing, regardless of your state laws on a lot of other topics. So I think that's even a bigger issue why you need to get together with someone. I mean, a lot of people would choose their best friend sometimes over their spouse or their parents
sure.
to make a decision because they know you better. And they know what you want done. So a lot of great information in this segment as well, talking about healthcare agents, healthcare power of attorneys. We're going to have a lot more when we come back in from the break. You're listening to Dr. Talk on Money Radio 1510 AM, 99.3 FM. And don't forget to like us on Facebook, facebook.com/Dr. Talk.
Hour we pause for a look at the world's news. Then we're back with Money Talk. We're Money Radio 1510 and 99.3 FM.
Thousands are expected at a unity rally in Paris tomorrow after the deadly terrorist attacks last week. Correspondent Hala Gorani says the French Interior Minister plans to have extra security in place.
We're talking about more than 1,000 additional troops, police. We're talking also about an extension and a reinforcement of the anti-terror plan. And keep in mind, it's not just people coming out for this unity rally. It's also very important political leaders.
The tail section of the downed Air Asia flight has been raised from the Java Sea, but the black boxes were not found. George Zimmerman has been released on $5,000 bond after being arrested in Florida for allegedly throwing a wine bottle at his girlfriend. Don West is Zimmerman's attorney.
I'm certainly not comfortable talking about this in detail. The investigation is new and ongoing. The charge is aggravated assault with a weapon, not a firearm.
The Seminole County Sheriff's Office confirms that Zimmerman was arrested last night in Lake Mary on a charge of aggravated assault. I'm Molly Page.
Walgreens has a question. Where do you go when you need a few groceries but want to avoid the grocery store line? Like the I'm getting older by the minute. You call this an express lane line? Walgreens also has an answer. It's us. We're just around the corner with essentials like milk, snacks, and paper towels. And with short lines, you can be in and out fast. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Now with card, nice brand eggs are $1.49 and Clorox toilet bowl cleaner and wipes are 2 for $5.
If you're an individual investor looking for tax-free income, consider municipal bonds. Henyon & Walsh is a leading independent expert in municipal bonds. For over 20 years, they've been helping individual investors like you build bond portfolios. If you have at least $10,000 to invest, call Henyon & Walsh today for your free bond guide. Call 1-800-908-0673. That's 1-800-908-0673. May be subject to local, state, or alternative minimum tax. Henyon & Walsh, Inc., member of FINRA, SIPC.
This show is brought to you by Discount Tire. We carry the best selection of tires and wheels at everyday low prices. This show is brought to you by Discount Tire. We carry the best selection of tires and wheels at everyday low prices.
Your health care, your well-being, and your life. Now back to Dr. Talk with Dr. Barclay White, a board-certified radiologist, and Dr. Bordinko, a board-certified doctor of internal medicine and personal physician. To join the conversation, visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/Dr. Talk and use the hashtag Dr. Talk. That's facebook.com/Dr. Talk. Now, here's your hosts, Dr. Bordinko and Dr. Barclay White.
Welcome back to another Saturday edition of Dr. Talk. We're here in the studio today with my co-host, Dr. Belinda Barclay-White, and our guest today is Michelle Gowen. She's an attorney at Gowen Law that specializes in advance directives and healthcare powers of attorney and estate planning as well, correct, Michelle?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's a little broader than what we're talking about today. And she's enlightening us as to what we can do proactively to kind of get our end-of-life wishes in place. And, you know, not that any of us want to think about that time or those circumstances. It really does take a lot of burden and stress off our family members that are around us in that time if we've been able to take the time to put that down in writing. And it's a rather inexpensive procedure, right? I mean, you said about $200 to sit down with an attorney and get this done?
Yeah, I charge a flat fee. There's no consultation time. So as long as it takes, it's $200 just to get the document done.
Yeah, so obviously very affordable. One of the questions I want to ask you, too, is can an agent under a healthcare power of attorney make mental health decisions? I think sometimes we just group everything together, but really mental health can be very different. It's not life-threatening for most people.
Right, and it can be very specific, actually. So up to a certain point, a healthcare agent can usually make mental health care decisions. It's going to depend upon the controlling document. But in certain instances, the healthcare agent's not going to have that authority. And if an example is, and probably the most important example, is admission to a level one behavioral health facility. An agent under healthcare power of attorney doesn't have the ability to consent to a client or a patient's admission to that type of facility. That's going to be like a dementia unit. I'm sure you're familiar with them. But we do have mental health care powers of attorney that would enable somebody to make that type or consent to that type of admission. It has very specific execution requirements. It requires the principal or the client or the patient to
specifically address behavioral one healthcare facilities. These aren't prepared as a matter of course, but I've had clients that know, you know, for example, they have a very early dementia diagnosis. They know that this is a very real possibility for their future, so they'll come in and do a mental health care power of attorney with me.
And I don't think this is as standard as the traditional health care power of attorney that, you know, advanced directives, a lot of people are becoming very commonly familiar with this. I think mental health is a nuance that right. is coming into something we're starting to ask people to fill out and think about.
Right. And if they don't have a mental health care power of attorney and there is some type of a need that, for that extra authority, ultimately you end up before a court getting a guardian appointed for the patient.
And that's a very traumatic experience as well, and that can take a lot of time.
You know, excuse me, they do have emergency procedures that could go relatively quickly. We're still looking at potentially 30 days for everything to kind of get boiled out, but... You know, it can be a pretty traumatic procedure, I think, because you need your patient to go into court and have the court decide that this person doesn't have mental capacity, and that could be pretty traumatic on that person to go in and listen to whether it's argument between people, if it's contested, or, you know, even having a physician or investigator go in and talk about all the things that they've done that shows incapacity.
Yeah, I can't imagine that being a comfortable situation for anyone in the room.
No.
So when does a healthcare power of attorney become effective?
Well, that's going to depend upon the client's decision. So a healthcare power of attorney can be effective the day you sign it. That's just going to be immediately effective. You can give somebody authority to make decisions for you today. If you don't want to go to the doctor and ask for these medical records, your agent can go in there and ask for you. Of course, you can make it what's called a springing power of attorney. It could spring into action the moment you become incapacitated. And incapacitated is going to be defined by the power of attorney, or if not, then by Arizona law, but that would spring into action that moment. So it could be just something that comes into effect later on.
So can you give us some examples of that?
Of a springing power of attorney?
Yes.
So, for example, I have clients that, you know, perhaps don't want to give their child access to their medical records or the authority to make healthcare decisions for them. So instead, my documents will say, two physicians licensed to practice in the jurisdiction that the patient's being evaluated will have to determine that person's incapacitated. So I would need Carrie and you, Belinda, to send me a letter that says you're incapacitated before the agent's going to have any authority.
Okay. So is there a magical age that we should start thinking about this?
I think the magical age is 18. As soon as you're legally competent to sign a power of attorney, you need to get a power of attorney.
Absolutely.
Too many people want to wait until, or think they should wait until they're going to need it. And the problem is a power of attorney is effective during life, not at death. So the whole point is that you need it while you're alive in case you can't make your own healthcare decisions. There could be a car accident or any type of emergency situation.
I think that's a great way to explain it to people. I'm going to steal that from you, by the way, next time someone asks me. You know, we started off the show by talking about acronyms, CPR and DNI, and, you know, using – these aren't acronyms, but these are terms that are loosely thrown around by probably the legal profession and the medical profession. But quickly describe to us the difference between a healthcare directive, a living will, and a durable power of attorney. Or are they really all the same thing?
Some of them overlap a bit. In Arizona, we define healthcare directive as basically any document that's going to be governed by a particular chapter in the, you know, Arizona Revised Statutes that governs your healthcare decisions. So a healthcare directive is going to encompass other documents. A living will is going to be the document that makes your specific decisions. Do you want artificial hydration and nutrition? A healthcare power of attorney, though, is going to designate the agent to make those decisions. So both will be healthcare directives, but they're very distinct from one another.
Are there any good, reputable websites that we can direct our listeners to that would help them, you know, find some of this information? We have a lot of listeners here in the state of Arizona, but we have people obviously outside of our state as well. Is there a national directory that people can go to get information on advanced directives and living wills?
Well, I don't know of a national website to go to get information about them. I know that you can store your documents on a national registry, so if you have one, that way the ER can find them by looking on this registry. But there, if I had a client asking for a website looking for reputable information, I would direct them to the Attorney General's website.
And we do have that in Arizona.
Right.
They actually have a pretty nice packet put together, but it's like 28 pages long. So
sure.
It's not exactly brief. So what you're referring to is the for Arizona, we have the Arizona Advanced Directive Registry, which
right.
people can upload on their own, their advanced directives, living wills, whatever they have in place. And then physicians can find that in a time of need
right.
without asking someone to go home and figure out if it's in a safe deposit box or tucked away in a
right.
drawer somewhere.
And I have clients often ask me, where should I store this? What should I do with this? And the answer is, I think with powers of attorney, you don't usually need originals. With some estate planning documents, you do. So you don't necessarily want them tucked away into a safety deposit box. You want them to be available for people when you need them. So you want to make copies. An electronic copy is always good to have. And, you know, give them to your agents if you need to. Put them on file at the hospital with your doctor. But certainly the Arizona Registry is a really good place for it.
So do healthcare providers have to follow a living will?
So Arizona law says that they shall follow the instructions of the agent. So that means that, yes, they should follow it, but they're not – mostly the laws are providing immunity to the providers. So if they follow your directive and something bad happens, they're mm-hmm. not going to be liable for the error, I guess, if you want to call it that. They should be following the directives of the agent. They, of course, don't have to do anything that they're morally adverse to, in which case they would probably – in fact, I think they have to refer you to another physician that could comply with your wishes.
So in that situation, that's where the ethics committee becomes involved in the hotel, I nearly said.
In the hospital.
Yeah.
Yes. Sure. And there was some, you know, kind of landmark cases that happened in our town here of Phoenix, you know, with some issues with Catholic hospitals and not following some requests by patients because of the cultural and religious background of that. You know, we won't go into a lot of details, but that can't be a real problem. I think, you know, a bigger problem is you said that it protects them from immunity if something goes bad. There isn't as much rights if they do something for the consumer or the person experiencing the event if they overdo what you don't want them to do. And, you know, that's something we can get into in our next segment as well, which is called wrongful life. Is that correct? Is that the correct term I'm using?
I think so.
I caught her off guard there. So, you know, a lot of information. This is a huge topic. It should probably be a 2-hour show, as all our shows should be, because we just keep talking and talking. But you're listening to Dr. Talk on Money Radio, 1510 AM, 99.3 FM. And we'll get right back to you after the break.
When you're driving down the road, the last thing you want to think about is tires. Trust Discount Tire to get you up to speed with the right tire for your vehicle. We carry the world's best brands of tires, all at everyday low prices. At Discount Tire, we're not just about tires, we're about people. We'll get you the right tire for your vehicle to help keep you safe on the road. Stop by any Discount Tire store for a free air pressure and tire safety check. Your low price journey starts here. Discount Tire.
Join board-certified and personal physician Dr. Carrie Bordinko every Saturday afternoon at 1 p.m. on Money Radio 1510 AM and 99.3 FM for Doctor Talk, where we put healthcare back in your hands. Each week, we'll have a full panel of nationally known medical experts as guest speakers, taking an in-depth look at the issues that affect us all and matter most. Tune in this Saturday at 1 p.m. for Doctor Talk.
Your healthcare, your well-being, and your life. Now back to Doctor Talk with Dr. Barclay White, a board-certified radiologist, and Dr. Bordinko, a board-certified doctor of internal medicine and personal physician. To join the conversation, visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/Dr. Talk and use the hashtag Dr. Talk. That's facebook.com/Dr. Talk. Now, here's your hosts, Dr. Bordinko and Dr. Barclay White.
So welcome back. We're here with Michelle Goen, It's Goen, right?
Goens.
Goens, who is a lawyer who's helping us talk about medical directives, end-of-life situation. And before the break, we were just going through a series of questions, but the last question, does an advance directive typically include wishes about organ donation, cremation, or burial, or is that another?
Healthcare powers of attorney can do that. That can also be included in a will. So generally, I keep it in a will for my clients if they want to do it. Not every client has specific wishes that they want to put in their estate planning documents about that. So I would recommend if you have specific wishes about organ donation, cremation, autopsies, etc., you talk to your lawyer, you make sure they know what your wishes are, and they'll put it in whatever document is appropriate.
Okay, great. So I think we're going to get into some myths and facts about all of this. So the first statement, you must have a living will to stop treatment near the end of life. Is that true or not?
That's partially true. If you have not named an agent, then as we talked about before, Arizona law allows a surrogate to make decisions for you. Surrogates are not authorized to withdraw artificial nutrition or hydration once that treatment has begun. So if you have already been getting that treatment, you're going to keep getting it until the court appoints a guardian. And obviously at that point, you don't have an agent under a power of attorney. Those are the only two people that can make those decisions.
So that's a really important reason to
have
all this.
That's a big topic, because I think people walk into that in some chronic medical issues and they have a feeding tube inserted. I mean, that's usually what we're really talking about here. It's not as much hydration. And then there's an assumption made by everyone out there that we can just turn that off. And what you're saying is they can't.
Right.
Yeah, that's a big topic. So next myth versus fact for you, Michelle, is you have to use your state's statutory form for your advance directive to be valid.
You know, I don't think most states have a specific form that's mandatory. Most states have proposed forms in their statutes to help practitioners, kind of to help the public. They could just take this form and make it their own. But no, there's not a state-specific form that's required by any state. Arizona does have minor requirements about execution of a healthcare power of attorney that Belinda, you and I talked about before.
As far as
witnessing.
Mental capacity,
witness, having a notary or a witness, and making sure that we identify that this person is executing or creating a healthcare power of attorney at that point in time.
So if you don't have this document, but your spouse, who's probably going to be the closest to you, knows what your feelings are, so even though you've got nothing written down, how much power does he have in that situation, he or she have in that situation?
The spouse is going to have power to make all decisions at that point except withdrawing artificial nutrition and hydration.
Which is a major deal, because often it gets to that, and that's
right.
the really tough situation for
it
the
can.
Spouse.
It can. And I think the part I want to interject here as a physician who's worked on a lot of cases in end-of-life care is that usually, if it's the right thing to do, the medical team is going to be on board with that surrogate decision-maker, with that agent, if we want to use that term. And, you know, if it's a futile situation and we're not helping the person, a lot of times they will agree. And then at that point, the courts do not have to get involved. They can actually stop, you know, the substance, the enteral nutrition or the TPN that's being given to the patient. So, you know, you hope it plays out that way. You hope everybody's on the same page. It doesn't always play out that way, and it can get a very long, drawn-out, tiresome process for a lot of people. But, you know, once again, that's why we're doing the show today, is
yes.
to talk about advance directives and healthcare power of attorneys and try and get people motivated with the new year to go out there and get these forms done. And we did touch on this earlier before
we
go
did.
Into the next question. I want to make sure everybody knows there is an Arizona website through the Attorney General's office, and there's also some national websites you can look up that will provide free forms for you that are Arizona State approved. You can download those forms from your computer, fill them out, and have them notarized by a notary. You don't need to necessarily visit a lawyer's office. Or, as Michelle was telling us earlier, you know, very inexpensive, a couple $100s, you can sit down with an actual attorney who can help guide you through the decisions you want to make instead of being directed by a generic form. And, you know, one thing we did not do, Michelle, was tell our listeners how to get a hold of you. So can you give us your office phone number and address?
Sure. My office phone number is 480-664-6386. And my address is 8161 East Indian Bend Road, Suite 103 in Scottsdale, Arizona, 85268.
85250. You have to think about that. And we'll make sure that we post a link to you also on our Facebook page so our listeners can go back and take a look at that. So the next myth
is advanced directives are legally, we actually touched on this before, advanced directives are legally binding, so doctors have to follow them. Can you just clarify that again for us?
Yeah, I think that's mostly true that they have to follow them. But as we discussed, if they're for some reason morally adverse or had some, you know, conscience issue that prevented them from performing a procedure, they could refuse to do it, but then they have to direct you to an attorney, mm-hmm. a doctor who would be willing to do it, or at least try to do that.
And I think the other thing, you know, we didn't have time to go into it, and I'm going to keep it really short, but I think important is people assume, I like to use the word assume a lot in medicine because it's such a bad term, that because you have advanced directives or healthcare power of attorneys, it explains every scenario to a doctor. Mm. And as a physician on the other end, when someone marks a couple boxes and says, if I have a terminal diagnosis, which in a lot of minds means cancer, I do not want the following things done. There's a whole lot of gray that exists in this world. And it's not as clean cut. And I think that's kind of what we're dancing around on this topic right now when we talk about doctors following. It's not that clean cut. It doesn't say you have this diagnosis and I'm going to perform this procedure. So that's why the agent comes back in again. You know, what is the true intention? What's been the talks that you've had around the fireplace at night where you said, if this ever happened to me, I would want the following done. And I think that's a big topic. You know, it's not as easy as everyone makes it sound like.
Well, right. And another important thing to note is that these medical directives, they don't have to be binding on your agent. They could be just guidelines to your agent. So you could say, in certain circumstances, I want artificial hydration. Your agent could use their discretion because it's just a guideline, or maybe you've mandated that you get that hydration. So you can make this all variable, and it's good. You know, that sometimes depends on how firm you are in your beliefs about, you know, do not resuscitate or allow natural death, you know, designations. But usually people want to use good discretion, and so you give that discretion to the agent and you let them make the decision. You make those guidelines and you don't mandate they do certain things.
All right. And the next one is, if I name a healthcare proxy, do I give up the right to make my own decisions?
Absolutely not. You are always going to trump your agent. So if you have a decision that you make, your decision is going to be the one that the agents or that the healthcare providers follow. If you're not available, if you're legally incapacitated, then of course they're going to go to the second in line. That's going to be your agent.
So does that apply in a mental healthcare situation?
Yeah, I mean, if you've lacked the mental capacity. So it could be, you could be in a coma, or you could be, you know, have severe dementia. I mean, there could be a number of scenarios, I think, that you lack capacity to make decisions. But no matter what, you're in some type of a, if you want to call it a vegetative state, or like I said, it could be a coma.
Yeah. Okay.
So a really good myth that's out there is, just talking to my doctor and family about what I want is not legally effective. What do you have to say about that?
Well, it depends on what you're saying about legally effective. I mean, certainly those are important conversations to have. And, you know, we've talked about surrogates having legal authority despite having it not having it written down. So I think that can be legally effective because somebody has the authority to make these decisions for you. And if you've had the discussions, that's going to be important. It's not in a document. And if you've said, I want, you know, my neighbor Joe to make decisions, but you have adult children and a spouse, absolutely true. That's not going to be
legally effective.
It's not going
to work out when you want it to. So, all right. Well, we've had Michelle Goins here from Goins Law, who's been talking with us today about the importance of advanced directives and healthcare power of attorneys. A lot of information in our show today, starting from these acronyms the medical community uses about end-of-life care to how important it is to pick your agent, how to pick your agent, who do you really want talking for you when you can't speak for yourself, and what are the legal terms surrounding this in Arizona and outside of Arizona. So we've bombarded our listeners today with a lot of information. And once again, we'll post, Michelle, your contact information on our Facebook page, and we ask our listeners to like us on Facebook, take a look at our page every week. We take the time to post some new informative information about this week's upcoming topic, and all week long, we will have added information on advanced directives. You're listening to Dr. Barclay White and myself on Dr. Talk Radio, Money Radio, 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and we hope you tune in next week.
And have a good week.
You've been listening to Doctor Talk with Dr. Barclay White, a board-certified radiologist and Dr. Bordinko, a board-certified doctor of internal medicine and personal physician. If you missed any part of this show, please go to moneyradio.com and listen to the audio archive. For additional information or to have your questions answered live on the air, send an email to drtalkaz@gmail.com. Be sure to tune in to Dr. Talk this and every Saturday afternoon from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on Money Radio 1510 and 99.3 FM. The information and opinions expressed in this broadcast are intended to address specific questions asked or situations described on this program and are not designed to constitute advice or recommendations as to any disease, ailment, or physical condition. You should not act or rely upon any information contained in this broadcast without seeking the advice of your personal physician. If you have any questions about the information or opinions expressed during this broadcast, please contact your doctor. Money Radio 1510 and 99.3 FM.
Attention women business owners. Want to learn cutting-edge strategies to rev up your revenue and boost your bottom line? Join other savvy business owners at the Women Entrepreneurs Small Business Bootcamp, February 7th in Scottsdale, for a powerful day of education and motivation. Register online at www.womensbusinessbootcamp.com. That's www.womensbusinessbootcamp.com. Or call 602-828-1177 for more details.
Hey guys, each year declining testosterone robs more of your energy, drive, motivation, and yes, it even affects your romantic life. Progene, the leading testosterone supplement, is actually giving you a free one-month supply. Call now to try Progene risk-free. See for yourself what Progene can do and ask about our new at-home testosterone test kits. With over 20 million tablets sold, you too can get back in the game with Progene. Call 1-800-710-2881. Again, that's 1-800-710-2881.
Well, Jason, I've got to tell you, you're pretty much everything this company is looking for in an entry-level candidate.
Great.
Your resume isn't quite what we're used to, but you've got a fantastic work ethic.
Thank you.
And I'm impressed by how you carry yourself.
So, should we talk about the job?
What? The job? Oh, sorry. Yeah, I have no way of recruiting or even meeting you. This interview didn't happen.
It may sound ridiculous, and that's because it kind of is. There's a huge pool of talent your company is missing out on. Meet the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Man, we really could have used him.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Hi, my name's Bob.
Hi, Bob.
So I see this ad on TV, says I can reduce my debt by 50%. So I call. They told me to stop paying my bills, stop talking to my creditors. It didn't seem right, but they said they'd take care of everything.
I gave them thousands of dollars, but most of it went to their fees.
Getting out of debt is neither quick nor easy. There are those who will tell you anything just to win your trust.
Sounded perfect. I did everything they told me to do.
They never paid my creditors. They didn't even contact them.
Turns out I'm even more in debt because the fees and the interest on my cards kept piling up.
Bad advice from so-called experts can make your financial situation worse.
And the bank turned me down for a mortgage. And that's when I realized my credit was shot. I should have gone straight to my creditors to begin with.
There is a better way to get help. Talk to your creditors directly or to find a nonprofit agency near you. Visit debtadvice.org. Debtadvice.org. Real solutions for real people. This has been a public service message.
Welcome back to The Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch-snuggling, ball-chasing, face-licking, tail-wagging, backyard-hanging, and, of course, companionship.
And what breed would you say Satchmo is?
I'd have to go with maybe a lavish terrier-hound-chihuahua-looking kind of mix.
Tremendous dog.
I'd also like to point out Satchmo's coloring, a white, gray, brown, black brindle. Simply marvelous.
You know, it's such a treat to watch a dog like this.
Now, let's see him in action.
Look how he makes eye contact with his person.
That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive. And now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance, so common with this group.
And finally, the loving face lick.
It's great how he just gets in there and, well, licks.
Fantastic. But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society.
Money is what we talk about. We're Money Radio, 1510, KFNN Mesa Phoenix, and 99.3 FM K257C.